Overnight with Jason Gotch continues now on SB Nation Radio.
We welcome you back. This is SB Nation Radio. Jason Gotch all across the country with you. One of the big stories in the NFL over this weekend and into Monday afternoon will be the contract situation of Redskins quarterback Kirk Cousins, who, if he doesn't get a long-term deal by Monday afternoon, he's going to play this season on the franchise tag for the second consecutive year. For more on that situation and the Redskins as a whole as we get you ready for training camp, let's roll right out to our guest line. We are joined by Nora Princiati. She covers the Redskins for the Washington Times. You can find her on Twitter at Nora Princiati is her Twitter handle. Nora, I appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about Kirk Cousins. The chances that he gets a long-term contract by Monday at 4 o'clock Eastern time, are they remote, are they non-existent, or could we be surprised?
They are remote. So if he signs a long-term deal, I personally will be very surprised. The one thing that I keep sort of thinking back to, because all signs, all indications, and just frankly the math, point to him not signing a long-term deal. There hasn't been a lot of movement. They're pretty far apart. The only thing that gives me pause, sort of as reporter paranoia, is that when they restructured their front office last month, there was a little bit of glee about not having it leak and not letting anything get out. So there is 10% of me that's kind of like, we're getting radio silence. We're getting that, you know, no, nothing's happening. Maybe, just maybe, they're sort of trying to have a little bit of fun with it. But I think that's a very slim possibility.
Nora, why are we at this point? If you look at this situation, it's really rare, really historic in the NFL. I mean, you're going to likely have a guy here playing on a franchise tag at quarterback for the second year in a row, get almost $44 million guaranteed over those 2 years. He's thrown 54 touchdowns, only 23 interceptions, and more than 9,000 yards in the last 2 years. So why are we at this point with Kirk Cousins and the Redskins?
So why is he, you know, why wasn't he signed to a long-term deal last year? Is that your question?
Yeah, either that and even this year. I mean, usually for a team to want to commit
right.
this type of guaranteed money for 2 years to a guy, they kind of probably could have put him in under a 7 or 8 year deal and maybe committed 60 or 65 million guaranteed, and they're giving like 44 million guaranteed for 2 years.
Right. So there's sort of two parts to it. The first part of it is that, you know, hindsight being what it is, if you look back, last year was when they should have signed him to a long-term deal. They, at least in my opinion, they should have been able to have seen enough from him on the field to commit to him. And at that point, his asking price would have been around, you know, $19 million a year. And at this point, right now, they would look like geniuses in hindsight. That would totally be a bargain. Now, they decided that they hadn't seen enough from him, weren't totally sure, wanted to wait and see. Now, they misjudged the player. That's forgivable if they feel like they have a plan B. And that, frankly, is the thing that I'm most curious about, is in their heart of hearts, what do they think of Colt McCoy, the backup? What do they think of, you know, this next crop of college quarterbacks? And has there been serious thought given to, okay, if we wait, we could end up in the pickle that they're in right now. And if we do, what's our backup plan? Because you can, you know, you don't want to make a mistake of evaluating a player, but you can forgive someone for making a mistake in misjudging someone. What I think is harder to get over for a fan is something that's the result of poor or non-existent planning. And because now, the reason that it's so hard right now is that the leverage that Kirk has because of the possibility of, you know, a tag this year and then another one next year, which Bruce Allen, the team president, has been very public about saying is a possibility. The combination of those two tags, you know, if you go somewhere, split the difference between a transition tag next year and the franchise tag next year, you're looking at a starting point of $55 million guaranteed, if you sort of, you know, 52 for if it's a transition tag for next year and 58 if it's a $34 million franchise tag. So that's more money than they want to pay Kirk Cousins, but it's the amount of money that his leverage dictates that he should be paid. So they just start so far apart that it's been really difficult to negotiate.
Nora, when you think of Kirk Cousins and what you've seen from him, do you think of him as a top five quarterback, a top 10 quarterback, a franchise quarterback, or maybe somewhere approaching that level, or maybe not close to those things?
I think he's a top eight quarterback, and I think if you are an NFL franchise that is lucky enough to have a top eight quarterback, you should consider him your franchise quarterback, and you should shake his hand every morning he walks into the building and say, Kirk, we are so happy to have you here.
That's for sure. I mean, there are so many teams out there, it seems like for a generation, they've been looking for someone even close to Kirk Cousins' stature and ability in the National Football League, and the Redskins have the guy, and who knows how long he'll be there after all these contract squabbles they've had over the last couple of years. As we visit with Nora Princiotti, she covers the Redskins as the beat writer for the Washington Times, with me, Jason Gotch, all across the country here on SB Nation Radio. Follow Nora on Twitter. You can find her at Nora Princiotti is her Twitter handle. Nora, give us the outlook overall for the Redskins in 2017 as we approach the training camp opening up later this month?
So I think there's still about a 500 team, and in the NFC East, you know, there's always fighting to make the playoffs because it's a competitive division. The offense, you know, they lose DeSean Jackson, they lose Pierre Garçon. Maybe that takes a little bit of a hit, although I think they could be better in the red zone because of guys like Terrell Pryor. And the thing was is that they had just this ruthlessly efficient offense last year, but they struggled to score in the red zone. So, you know, the results weren't quite as good as what they put on the field. So that's a big help, is getting better in the red zone, which I believe they will be. And then, you know, they really prioritized the defense this offseason, both in the draft and in free agency. And it's sort of, you know, one of the things through the spring watching practices was that Greg Minuski, the defensive coordinator, is still really, you know, we didn't get a steady lineup, especially in the front seven, totally mixing guys in and out. So I'm really curious to see how that shakes out, because there are a number of things that have to break the right way. For instance, they have a lot of guys playing safety who have a lot of promise. You know, they get DJ Swearinger, who I think is a really, really good pickup. Tua Cravens is super athletic, but he's moving to safety from linebacker, so that's sort of up in the air. And then, you know, you get all of these guys like Jonathan Allen, the 17th pick in the draft, who seems like a total steal, but, you know, he's a rookie. You don't totally know how much he'll be able to contribute right away. And so I think the defense should take a step forward, but again, it's not as if they went out and signed, you know, like a Josh Norman or one huge, big impact guy. It's kind of like a bunch of smaller moves, which I think is the smart way to do it, but it just leaves a lot of pieces that have to come together, and especially when you have an almost entirely new defensive coaching staff, at least as far as it's configured, it could take some time. So I'm actually pretty optimistic about the defense getting better, but I don't know that that'll necessarily all have happened by week one.
Nora, let's talk about the Redskins in relation to the rest of the division. You mentioned right now, at least on paper, they look like a 500 team. That division is very competitive. It has been for the last couple of years, even when the teams haven't been that good. How do you think they stack up versus the rest of their rivals in the NFC East?
So I would say they are behind the Giants and the Cowboys. I am not as high on the Eagles and what the Eagles did this offseason as it seems like a lot of people are. I still think, you know, it's funny. I forget the exact year, the last time the same team finished first in the NFC 2 years in a row, but it was a while back. It's totally volatile. It's always a new team every year. So, but I think this could be the year the Cowboys do it. You know, I don't know that they'll win 13 games again, because I think they had a lot of good luck, especially with injuries last year, and I'm not positive they're offensive line will be, you know, quite as standout amazing as it was. But I honestly think it's still going to go Cowboys, Giants, Redskins, Eagles, which is just the finishing order from last year.
Nora, I got about a minute left. Great information. I really appreciate your time. The loss of DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, they get Terrell Pryor. How much will that hurt, or will it not hurt much in the passing game?
I think it won't hurt too much. I mean, so individually, losing DeSean Jackson hurts. Individually, losing Pierre Garçon hurts a ton. I think, though, you know, scoring points is what these guys can do. Just with the coaching staff and with the players that they've had in place, that this is their bread and butter. This is sort of the thing that they're good at. So I'm not super worried about it. And again, I mentioned this earlier, but they really needed some size. And Terrell Pryor is 6'5". I mean, he's not the speedster that DeSean was in one sense, because he doesn't just sort of like whip straight down the field and look like a rocket. But the funny thing is that during the spring, it's actually been, Kirk's been underthrowing him because he is so big. You almost don't see how fast he's going because his stride isn't quite as fast, but he covers so much ground. So I think the offense will be about as good, especially because Josh Doctson, as long as he stays healthy, will also help to fill in and account for some of the guys that they lost in free agency.
Nora, again, really appreciate the time. Get some rest because it's going to be busy with training camp and the season right around the corner. Have a great week, and I hope we can chat again down the road.
Awesome. Thank you so much.